Loved one, I'm just here today to bring a good word of hope that help is on the way. Sometimes in life, you can endure crushing situations, and like an axe head, you can start sinking. And you're gonna, if you keep sinking, you're just gonna sink forever. You can be so crushed in life. But if you know help is on the way, you can survive almost anything. Did you know that? If even when you're in pain, if you know there's help on the way, and they're bringing the meds right now to numb you out, it can cause you to live if you know that help is on the way. I want to read from 2 Corinthians just for a minute, chapter 1. Paul the Apostle says of his life, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." This is the Apostle Paul. Have you ever been crushed down and pressed down so badly in a situation of hopelessness that you doubted you would ever survive that moment? Now, my word today is not for everybody that thinks they're okay. All of you that are okay, God bless you. You're lying about it, but that's all right. Sometimes people go through a season of prolonged blessing and they think they have this sense of entitlement that, hey, everything's all right. Loved one, you don't know how bad it can get sometimes. I've got some people that I'm speaking to today that little axe head has been sinking down and you've been crushed down. Paul the Apostle said, we were not going to survive this. What happened to us at Ephesus? That's a long tape. That's another message. Paul went through impossible situations, but he always ends with the note of confidence. Verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." Paul said, I'm about dead. This trial is going to kill me. I knew I was going to die, but you know what? God raises dead things. So I was confident. Help was on the way. I want to read you a story. Just want you to sit back and listen to this story. It's familiar to some of you, and it's a story of one of the most impossible situations. You know, God loves impossible situations. He really does. If it's not impossible, then He can't get all the glory He's going to get when He comes to deliver you. Do you know things can go from bad to worse so quick, and you can be sinking. And you know, sometimes I think if we really had a testimony service this morning, I mean, really, like you got up and told us what you've been thinking the last 72 hours and what God delivered you from, everyone would flee the room. Our formal testimony at church are usually a little edited clip of, you know, the water bill, couldn't pay it, and a check got there 2 minutes before they shut the water off. Well, amen, that's a good testimony. But see, if you heard my testimony, the G-rated version of it, it'd scare you. If we knew everything about you right now, we would move about 3 seats over, right? Just to be safe. But did you know God did not put His Son on the cross to die in that agony in a great exchange in order just to help you out a little bit? He is a deliverer, and He saves to the uttermost. And no matter how crushing the situation is, Paul said, we despaired even of our lives. I know there are people in here that you may be going through something right now that you are despairing of your life. Well, let me tell you a story in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Here's a devil claiming the name of God to get some. The chance of it. You ever seen the devil pray? This is a demon praying. I adjure thee by God that you not cast me out. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked, What is thy name? And he answered, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. But the scripture tells us that Verse 15, Jesus had delivered the man, and 6,000 demonic powers that had infested his life and ruined his world, in a moment, Christ stilled that storm. I believe he's going to come into your life and he's going to still the storm that you find impossible. Did you know just prior to this chapter in chapter 5, and we'll talk about this man, I want you to just see how degraded he was. I want you to see how impossible his situation was, how unclean his situation was. Then you think, Craig, if you knew about me, look, God knows everything about you and he still sent his son for you. Church people are some of the best actors and actresses in the world. Hi, praise God. Should have seen you last night crying in your bed and pulling the stuffing out of your pillow. And hi, praise God. Super good and getting better. How are you? Well, see, that means you don't need God. You don't need a deliverer. You don't need a redeemer. I need a deliverer 24 hours a day. I need a redeemer on me all the time. I need mercy. Mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. One of the little babies around said, who's the son of David? Because all she ever hears me say is, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, who's the son of David? Do you need mercy every second? Well, this man's condition, as we look at it a little bit, we're going to see, I just want you to see, as rough as your situation is, as many devils, and sometimes, by the way, it is devils you've got a problem with. It isn't addiction and it isn't your more discipline. Sometimes it is just demons and you need those rebuked off of you in Jesus' name. But I just want to frame the impossibility of this guy's situation. He once had a region he lived in, the Decapolis. He once had a family. He once had a home. But he had been so tormented, and we don't know what happened in his life. But, you know, you can sometimes be so internally broken and you can't tell anybody what's really going on that it will isolate you. And he isolated himself from the community, from his family, from his loved ones. And here he is, a living man in a dead place. He's amongst the tombs. That's the contemporary language of a cemetery. He lives in the cemetery. He's naked. He's got supernatural power. No one can approach him. No one can control him. No one can bind him in order to help him. And he's crossing with outbursts of anger. And then the next minute he's crying like a baby. And then he's cutting himself. Cutting himself. Have you ever just cut yourself? You just by yourself say, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Nothing's ever good's going to happen to me. I can't believe it. My life is a ruin. He was cutting himself. He was the epitome of an outcast. And he had 6,000 demons working in association with his life. Now, I don't have time to go into the nature of angels, but they weren't in him. Like, you know, boy, it's got to be pretty little devils to climb in. It means he was in the sphere or in the power. There was a swirling swarm of demonic power that was around him all the time that forced him into utter isolation. Sometimes we're living in the tomb. It may not be a physical tomb, but it may be an emotional tomb where you've been. You know, internal unresolved issues will always isolate you from other people, and eventually you just be out from the body of Christ, and you get away from your family, then you get away from everybody. This man is the epitome of an impossible case. No evangelists were doing meetings on that side of the lake with banners. Miracles today. This is the guy everybody stayed away from. A little anecdote, but please remind me where I was. I was in Nigeria once, and we're in Abeokutu, and there's this huge stone which was like worshipped as a god for years, right? And I'm with these powerful evangelists. So these are men that speak to 50,000 people a night, and they say, "We're going to take a little tour." It's a local tourist attraction. So I'm looking at a big rock. Oh, big rock! How wonderful! And we come around the corner. And, you know, when you see men of God shrink all up and get, you know, there were these old ladies, God bless them, but they had evidently lost their tops about 40 years ago, and they were in the corner, and they had white chalk on their forehead, and they were sacrificing puppies to the mountain. All right, now, it's funky. You know, have you ever gone into, like, a New Age bookstore or something, you go, there's something weird in here. Have you ever, you know, been around a strange spirit? Well, we walked around the corner, and I saw these men of God, mighty men of power, getting past those old ladies as quick as they could. They wouldn't look at them. And I'm the only big fat white guy from America going, wow, there's blood all over here. And they said, yeah, it's puppy blood. These guys, I said, come on, Dr. Craig, come. And I'm looking at one of the old ladies looking at me. I'm thinking, oh, my God, she looked at me. So I was hard to miss in that crowd. But did you know there are spiritual powers that'll even get men and women of God to duck a little bit. This stuff is real. This stuff is real. This guy not only was isolated, but he also had that other dimensional reality of demonic power swarming over his life. He had no friends. The situation was impossible. But I want you to realize, in the midst of his cutting himself and crying out and being utterly desperate in a hopeless situation, Mark chapter 4 says, the previous chapter, on the other side of the lake was Jesus, the Son of God. And he said to the disciples, get in the boat, boys. We've got an appointment on the other side. And they get in the boat. When you're in the midst of your crisis, when you're in the most isolation of your life, when you're crushed down into a place where you despair of your life, don't give up hope, because help is on the way. Sometimes that's enough to make you go, oh, thank God. No man left behind, no woman left behind, the Son of God. While all this swirling demonic nonsense is going on, and this guy's totally lost. Did you know God loves lost things? We throw used things away. God is a recycler of lives. He loves to find the lost. In Luke chapter 15, there's a story of a lost sheep. Then there's a story of a lost coin. Then there's a story of a lost son. And God is always seeking to save the lost one, the one in despair. So on one side of the lake, in Gadara, the Gadarene demoniac is just in the midst of crisis and torment. You know, you can be tormented in your mind and nobody even knows about what's going on in your head. Come on. And you can't even tell somebody what's going on because they lock you up. Loved one, and when you're in the worst situation of your life, Jesus is on the other side of the lake, and he's already given a command and an order that is going to bring help your way. It may not be there yet, but it's on the way. It's like an arrow shooting through time and space. It's coming right towards you. God has a moment of deliverance. He hears the cry of your heart, the depth of your cry. Mark chapter 4, Jesus said to his men, verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were other ships with him. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Has it ever gotten so bad that you're despairing of life? Paul despaired of life. Peter, who knows these waters like the back of his hand, would never send a boat out in these conditions. Sometimes things can start real normal, and by the time you get halfway over, you're dead. You're going to be dead. You're ready to sink. Now, Jesus is asleep in the boat. Isn't he strange? He's sleeping when we're screaming. You know? And Peter, Mr., I know this lake like the back of my hand. These disciples are not, you know, idiots. They know the lake. It's their business. And they're so distraught and to the point of losing their minds that they go and say to Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Don't we say silly things to God sometimes? Don't you know what's going on? Don't you see? We're going to die. The ship is filling up with water, and your ship may be filling up with water, but Jesus is asleep. He's very confident. And he rose up, as he always does, stretched a bit and said, calm down, peace, be still. And the elements themselves. Did you know the devil throws up the strangest storms just before the most extravagant deliverances? Did you know that Jesus, the Son of God, intended to come to the man who had the legion, and every devil in hell said, we've got to pull out all the stops to stop this thing, because if his boat gets over here, we're finished. Can you imagine the demons? And by the way, Satan is a super scientist and a master magician. He can do almost anything, manipulating spatial dimensions. So he can bring fire down. He can do all kinds of things. These demons said, we got to throw up some resistance to Christ getting to the other side. Now, do you think you can shoot the Son of God down? No, but devils are crazy. I remember hearing a comedian saying about Lucifer, saying, huh, God's all-knowing, all-powerful? I can take him. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. But did you know demonic powers will try to resist your miracle? But don't worry. Jesus is asleep, very confident in the boat. And he will get up and he will still the storm, but I can just see these demonic powers going, help is on the way. Oh my God. Oh my God. Kill him now. Have him cut himself in a fatal way now in the tombs. Get some kind of an outburst of anger that'll get him to throw himself off into the water. They sense. Loved ones, you got to know how to read the landscape of your life. Look at what God is doing, but look at what the devil's doing as well in your life. There's always a strange storm preceding a majestic deliverance. Just before he comes and gets you, there's usually circumstances so odd out of nowhere that you just go, what is that? I've been doing fine. I'm on track. I'm doing the next right thing for my life, for my career, for my family. And all of a sudden, a strange storm comes up that you can't understand. It's the enemy trying to limit your blessing and block the work of God. But guess what? He doesn't succeed. Was Jesus under attack? Well, you can have an aircraft carrier and a guy in a boat with a pea shooter blowing paper wads at it. Technically, it's under attack, but the attack was not going to be fruitful. Jesus just, in the Greek, got up and said, shut up to the wind and waves. He said, shut up. And the elements stopped. And then the disciples go, what manner of man is this? I believe that those under the sound of my voice are going to be saying for the rest of the week, what manner of man is this? He is the Redeemer of your world. That's who he is. And he'll always come and get you. And help is on the way. And it doesn't matter how low you go. God sees it, and everyone else may count you out. I'm convinced that God makes sure everyone in our lives counts us out and puts a check by our name. And then he says, okay, go save her now. Because he gets the glory. Doesn't matter the tomb you're in. Doesn't matter that you're isolated from God and man. Did you know why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as others have? Because we need one another. And we need to assemble regularly in order to be sane. You can't say, I just need God by myself. No, they'll make you sick going out all by yourself. You need me and I need you, and the body of Christ is many parts, many members made up into one body, and I need your prayers and you need mine, because we are able to see things about one another that we can't see for ourselves. I need your wisdom and your insight, and I know you certainly need mine. It got so bad, but Jesus, the Bible says, the boat lands at the other side, and out from the tombs runs this outcast, scary man, naked man, cut all up, everything people try to avoid. We're not vacationing in the gathering area, honey, this year, because this guy's crazy. Now, notice, he had a home and a family and a jurisdiction in a country, and he has 6,000 demonic powers, yet there is still enough in his humanity when he sees Jesus to come up and cry out. You know, the devils could not stop him. He was a son of Adam made in the image of God, and he wanted to be free, and Jesus stood there, and the man ran to him. It's just a beautiful sight to me. Jesus says, who are you? What's your name? Legion, for we are many. How long you been here? Those are the only two questions. You don't argue with demons or have dialogue with them or interview them on the radio show. You find out what their name is, how long they've been there, and then you rebuke them and cast them out. People having conversations with devils. I know some ministers that would do that. They're all, you know, well, devil, before you come out, what's it like being a devil? You know, you don't want to have dialogue with them. I literally heard a guy doing this, having dialogue. But you know, what do you eat? Oh, you can't eat. That's right. They're not spatial. They're not temporal. They're not like we are. But I'm telling you, loved one, they're real. And the only one that can break a demonic infestation off of your life is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He can make you clean. He can deliver you. He can come and bring hope. And in a moment, the Bible says, he told these demons, come out of the man, and he was found clothed and in his right mind. Thank God. I want to be able to put that scripture on your fridge at some point. I'm clothed into my right mind, Gretchen. There's another T-shirt. She wears these wonderful T-shirts. That ought to be one. I'm clothed in my right mind. Or we should just put that by the front door. You know, I am or I'm not, just so we know whether to knock that day. I am not clothed and in my right mind. I will come back on the Sabbath. But the man who was absolutely a lost cause at all times, Jesus was on the way. Help was coming. Hope was on the horizon. But after he's cleansed, he says, Jesus, can I come with you? Can I follow you? And Jesus says, no. I want you to go back to your country, and I want you to tell them all the great things God has done for you and has had compassion on you. See, if this man would have just gotten delivered, which he already was delivered, if he would have just gone with Jesus and his loved ones had never seen him come back and they've never publicly seen his testimony, then you see he would have gotten delivered, but he wouldn't have been restored. God wanted to deliver him of 6,000 devils, bring him to a place where he was clothed in his right mind. Then he wanted him to go back to his family that knew him, the culture he was living in, the country and the town. And can you imagine that man coming into town again, clothed and in his right mind, just sitting on his porch? He was restored to his family, to his country. And God will not only deliver you, but he will restore you in the presence of your enemies. You know, God wants your enemies to see you get blessed. He loves that. Now, I think that's a little rude, and I've told him so a few times, but David said, in the presence of my enemies, you've made a meal for me. That's just like your enemies sitting right across the table at the restaurant from you and being forced to watch you get everything back the devil ever took from you, to bless you in public. He wants your friends to see you blessed and restored. He wants your enemies to see you blessed and restored. There's just nothing like it. God loves that. Now, if I wanted that, I'd be wicked. But the Lord himself wants his work to be seen. Your life, honey, is a tale to be told. And everyone who's been watching it will see God come through. Don't despair. Don't quit. Don't stop. Hope and help is on the way. It may not be a person, place, or thing, but it's Jesus himself. And he's targeted the moment of your deliverance. And he will come to you. But sometimes he waits to the last minute so that you know who did it. Come on, always. Yeah, not sometime. Joaquin said, always. 11:59 and 59 seconds. It's true. I was talking to Joaquin not too many Sundays ago. And he just said to me, he said, Craig, sometimes we look crazy walking our walk and living our life and surviving our battles. But he patted my hand. He said, you just keep being God's crazy man. Just keep showing up. Just keep pressing through everything. Just keep dismissing the devil and his works. Just keep showing up because help is on the way. And just knowing that sometimes is enough for you to just do you. Just live your little life God's given you. As your day is, so shall your strength be. He gives you just enough strength to do today. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. It isn't even here yet. Just do the next right thing the next hour and then the next 10 minutes, and he will arrive on the scene. Not on our terms, but he sees you. And I'll close with this. There's a story of Christ walking on the water in the New Testament, and the disciples again are in a boat, and it's being capsized, and they're unaware. They don't see Jesus. Sometimes you don't see Jesus in the midst of your storm. You can't see anything. But Jesus sees you. He was on the shore watching the disciples struggle in the boat, and he knew all was well, and he walked on the water. He just defied all the elements to get to them. And when he first appeared on the horizon and they're in the boat, they're dying anyway. Sometimes your situation is so bad. You're treading water. You're just getting ready for death and trying to remember the Lord's Prayer. And then you see what appears to be a spirit, a devil on the water. And they said they saw Jesus. And they said, it's a spirit. And he goes, no, it's me, guys. Calm down. Sometimes God showing up in your life looks demonic initially. Is this God or not? You know what? He's bigger than any devil. You never need to worry about the devil. You don't ever put God on the shelf and right next to him, Lucifer, than all of us down here. That is a false model. Lucifer is a creature. That's all he ever is and was and will be. He is only a creature. He came to be. God is the uncaused cause. There's God, the Holy Trinity, and there's every other creature fallen. And the devil's just a made kind of thing. He wants to use a flashlight. He's like a mouse using a flashlight trying to cast an image much bigger than what he is, but he's only a creature like you. So Christ is more powerful and has no threat from the enemy. There's no equality between God and the devil. Stop that right now. Put the devil down with all the dirty clothes where you are. God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the thrice holy God, has no threat from the devil. And I want you to know you are his child. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, he's drawn a circle of love around you, a circle of fire around you, and of protection and guidance. And it may get bad, but it's not over till he says it's over. The book of Job says, the devil said, let me have his health. Let me have his possessions. God said, okay, for a while, but you cannot kill him. You cannot kill him. Did you know sometimes it just gets down to that word of hope in the book of Job? You can't kill me. You can't kill me. It's right. If the devil had the power he says he has, you would have been lips and tennis shoes 10 years ago. Because whenever he sees a threat and targets it, he starts working to destroy it. But you're still here and you're still alive. Anything alive has hope. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for my precious, precious friends here today. They may feel they have been abandoned and isolated to the tombs. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that feels that they have been tormented beyond measure, that no one can understand the threats that have come against them, that they've sunk like an axe head, and they just feel they're just going to continue to sink until they've hit the bottom. But we thank you, Lord God, that you are the one who sees us in our distress, and you come and get us. And you seek and save that which is lost. Thank you that you leave the 99 sheep that are okay, and you go yourself to rescue that lost lamb. I thank you for every one of my friends right now that may feel forsaken. They've been going through a storm. Yeah, there's been devils involved too. There's been everything involved, sin and devils and everything. Injury, cutting, isolation. Well, Lord Jesus, when you walk on the scene, hell itself is rebuked. With one word, the wind and the waves obey you. No storm can stop you coming to bless your children. And I thank you for every one of these precious children of God that cry out your name and they love you and they trust you. That you are going to reach down and bring peace. You're going to quiet the storm, rebuke the oblivion, and bring confidence to the hearts that need you so. Lord, we confess that we need a mighty God to save us. We confess today that we are but sinners that need the sovereign grace of God and the forgiveness of heaven. Come and get us, Lord. I just speak over your life a wave of peace to still the wind and the waves in Jesus' name. I declare over your life a season of calm where there's peace on the west and the east and the north and the south of your life. Help is on the way, sweetheart. He loves you. You're not off his grid. You're not a lost aircraft somewhere no one can find. He is on his way right now. If he hasn't reached you, it's all right. He's coming. A fresh anointing, Lord, upon this people in Jesus' name. A fresh strength for service in Jesus' name. Healing for the sickness of the body. Healing for the torments of the mind. Thank you, mighty God. There's nowhere we can go that will take us too far, that your grace cannot reach us and your love cannot save us. Just close your eyes right now and just for a moment, receive his love. Just imagine him smiling at you with his arms held open wide. He accepts you. He loves you. No, there's no surprises. He knows everything about you, and he's here to save you. He came all this way across the lake just for you. He's not intimidated by your devils. He's not intimidated by your appearance. He's not intimidated by your past. He's come to save you. His name is Jesus. Just say to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Surrender to him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He's standing right next to you. Come, Lord Jesus, save your children. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Empower us for service. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can you give him a little praise right there? He's a wonderful Savior.